and see if they've paid their conference all exhibition fee yet. And they're like, oh, well, do you mean VR ABC 1 or 12?
Or ABC VR. Hello and welcome back to the Research VR podcast, everybody. Today, we have an awesome show about music, about audio, about vibrations. It's about subwoofers.
All good vibes.
All the good best. Vibes. And with me is Zach Jaffe. Jaff or Jaffe?
Jaffe.
Jaffe,
like,
there we go.
Like Taffy.
Jaffe Taffy from Subpack.
Yes.
You guys don't have a VR thing at the end of your company name, so.
No, we don't. We it's just, if there was a white pages or yellow pages for VR, which I'm sure some of these many conferences have, it's just like, can you look up VR ABC and see if they've paid their conference all exhibition fee yet? And they're like, oh, well, do you mean VR ABC 1 or 12?
Or ABC 12? VR.
Yeah, it's, we should come up with a better,
better thing that we could all use. I know.
It's just like drop the VR.
It's like the cyber whatever or e whatever of the 90s, like e-commerce. Well,
you used to always have to say .com after your site, or right?
www.
Now no, it's like, what's your website? It's
that's right.
People just know .com. Although you have your .dot, you can do .dot anything right now.
Right, dude. I want .dot VR to exist so bad.
I mean, you can make
it. Well, the domain right now is not issued by the committee that has that.
Oh, really? I thought you could do anything now.
You can't do anything. You can't do everything you want.
Can't do everything. That's just in my world.
I guess how Subpack does things.
Yeah, that is what we do. We do what we want.
For those of you guys joining in for probably the first time, if not your first time, then what's up? Welcome back.
I'll be sure to share this with all my crew, so there will be lots of new listeners to Research VR this time.
Well, I'll say a little something about what this podcast is. Basically, Research VR is all about the science of virtual reality. What does it encompasses? How does it work? You know, we get into the nitty gritty, nerdy details of like how all of this makes sense, and not for the sake of just like talking about science, but to see and get the guide as to what's coming next, and to help developers really understand a little bit more about human body and the human brain, about all these things. How do they all work? Because it's never been as relevant as it is today, I think, for a developer to understand how a person works.
Definitely not.
So we got a lot of people like that, love to hear about the details of how it all works and how can you make it better. So today, I guess this is something we haven't really covered much on Research VR. I've mentioned Subpack a few times, but do you want to give an introduction as to what it is?
Yeah, sure. So again, my name is Zach Jaffe. I do business development for a company called Subpack, and we are a physical audio technology. So what we do is we take the low frequencies in your experience, in your audio, and transmit them directly to the body. So from 130 hertz down to 5 hertz, which is in the sub-audible range. So think when you're at a concert and you feel that air moving against your body, and that sensation of subs, or when you're in the back of somebody's car with two 12s in the back, and they're going down the street, and you just feel, or your neighbors banging subs really early in the morning when they're up all night doing things, and you're just trying to sleep.
All you hear is the bass, right?
Just But instead of being audible, it's physical, because that sensation actually is physical. Bass is more physical than it is audible. And we just traditionally think of it as something that you hear.
Right. So I think it would be appropriate to talk a little bit about what sound even is, right? Like sound, we think
it's vibration.
It's just vibrations. It's an oscillation of anything. And so if this desk like vibrates at a certain frequency, like
you vibrated a certain frequency.
Right. And that produces a, not a sound, but it produces a wavelength of like movement.
Exactly.
Which, if air moves at that wavelength around that object, produces this like pop, 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 that our ears pick up and then translate into sound.
Exactly.
That's pretty crazy, right?
That is crazy. I mean, even colors have frequencies.
Right.
Vibration is essentially life. If you're not vibrating, you're dead. If anything, you know, an inanimate object is considered not alive because it's vibration.
Right. Even the Earth, I think, has like a certain frequency. It's
528.
Yeah. Yeah.
Allegedly, according to all the hippies that I know.
Hey, man, it's 520, man.
I'm a reformed hippie.
Or, you know, 44 A yeah. being at 440 or 445 hertz.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's interesting because it's a lot different than light. We think sound and sight are very similar things. Just one is a little bit quicker. But the speed difference is because light is like a photon is... There's no photon for sound, that yeah. right? There's no sound particle. Sound exists because of
air,
of energy
movement
going through mediums.
Yeah.
So based on that, our ears can only hear a certain bit. So this envelope that
we cut off around 30-40 hertz, depending on how right. deaf we are and how many concerts we've been to.
30-40 hertz is low end, right?
That's low end.
And high end is like, depending on how old you are, when you're like a teenager, you can hear up to like 20,000 hertz.
Right. And yeah, then it slowly dissipates.
We probably can hear TIFF.
You actually lose low frequencies before you lose high frequencies in traditional hearing loss.
I've never even heard of low frequencies.
So the lows, which is why people are always like, what did you say?
Right.
Because you're losing low end enunciation.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you lose the low end first, which is why it's so damaging for people to go to concerts without earplugs or to turn their volume up.
So really you lose high. Your low end, not your high end.
Yeah, it's the low end that goes first.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But if you lose, I guess, that sense of hearing it, you can still... So what is the feeling of a low end? How does that translate into sound, right? Because it's not your eardrums that are actually picking up the sound.
Well, actually it's a bit of both because we're still transmitting low frequencies, you know, through your headphone of choice or however it is you're listening to it. So we're not cutting off those low frequencies, but what we're doing is we're changing the medium, like you just talked about.
Right.
Sound is the transference of energy through different mediums, traditionally air.
Right.
So instead of the air, we're using your body. So we take that energy and think of a speaker cone and how that pushes air. You have a magnet, you have the cone.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of pushing air, we're just pushing you.
So
it's sort of an inverse relationship for how it works.
Interesting. And I guess that's your ears still pick up on those. That's how you still hear and feel the bass, I think.
Well, yeah. Right? So you'll be hearing it through your bone conduction as well because we're transmitting it into your body, which sounds... crazy, and if you haven't tried it before, I can assure you it surely is.
It's safe, guys. Don't worry.
It's safe. You may curse, cry, or you know, just be smiling for a few minutes. But it's safe.
It's a cool experience, I have to say.
But your bone conduction picks up on those sound frequencies. So if you were to actually use a sub pack with, you know, your favorite song or VR experience, whatever it is, you would be able to take your headphones off, plug your ears, and still hear those frequencies at a high fidelity representation from within your body.
Right.
And, you know, that's actually, you know, one of the things that we strived to do when we set up on this mission. And, you know, we come from a world of audio background, not necessarily just VR or gaming or film. We're, you know, audio guys, music dudes, promoters, artists, agents, all sorts of that background, the audiophile world.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the idea of physical audio, which has existed. There have been products out for years that have tried to create a tactile sensation with low frequencies, but they've done it in a way where they're more of a blunt instrument.
Can you name a few? Because I can't.
There was something called a butt kicker.
Okay,
drummers still use them in their thrones, right. Although, you know, they're hard to install. They're heavy.
I think some gamers have it.
Yeah. Some people will put them in their chairs also. There was a thing in the 90s called the Aura Interactor.
Okay.
That we found out about later on, which is really funny, is this big old box looking thing that you wear on your back. Like you wear a sub pack on your back as well, or you can put it in your chair. But this was like a big plastic type of box.
Uh-huh.
And there was a huge breakout box with it too. And it was for like your Super Nintendo.
Really?
And it was really loud and like it was supposed to be just vibration, was just really loud, and we got one off eBay or something like that, and the thing was just so silly. We were passing it around at the office one day telling people that it was the new prototype sub pack. I actually got an email once from a guy who said he's like, hey, I'm in somewhere in Asia and I've got this warehouse full of 15,000 brand new Aura Interactors, wow, unopened from 1995 or whatever it is. Where you have any interest in buying these for $4 a piece? I was like, yeah, jeez. You know, I think you just leave those there.
You just can't do anything with them.
So there's been, you know, physical audio is not new. You know, people have been putting huge subs in floors and doing sound meditation and things like that for many years. Mm. But what we did is we took what previously was a blunt instrument, think a club that you're going to beat someone over the head with, versus a surgical tool. So we took, instead of a blunt instrument, and created a precision tool like a microscope for bass.
So how do you call it a precise instrument for bass, right? Like
pure reference. Hmm. So for audio people out there, if you're mixing audio in VR or just in general, bass is the hardest thing to mix because there's so many variables involved. The shape of the room, the size of the room, what's in the room. There's a lot of physics involved. Right. Yeah, exactly. So you can end up with bass traps and all sorts of things that aren't accurate representations of what it's going to sound like when you play it out in a club or play it back through your headphones in a VR experience. So we take a lot of the guesswork out of that. I'm not going to say all of the guesswork,
sure.
But the vast majority of that guesswork, and we eliminate a lot of the variables that would, including your neighbors.
Sure. Include them getting really mad at
you. Yeah. You have no idea how many music producers I mean who've been kicked out of their apartments, and they're like, oh, man, I wish I had a sub pack 10 years ago. I've gone through 6 apartments, Jesus, and, you know, 10 girlfriends.
Because if you're mixing with just a pair of, you know, cans or just earphones.
Yeah. Even on these nice VMOs, which have a really great bass response. You know, there's a lot of headphones out there that have amazing bass response. You know, like there's a couple of pairs of Sennheisers that I really like. The V-Motas, obviously, HD8s are the killers for me. And then, you know, III makes the really nice TMAs. And there's a lot of headphones out there
that have... Like the Beat Studio, too, obviously. That's your favorite go-to bassy one?
No comment.
I hear they have a lot of bass in them.
well, it's because they're EQ'd. EQ'd to have, you know, there was a great New York Times article about that years ago, about why they have so much bass. And it's because... It's not how you know, there's not actually more bass in it. It's just EQ'd to the way that Dr. Dre would listen to music. How he prefers to listen to music, which is with the low end EQ bumped up artificially. And actually, anecdotally, I had a friend who got a pair of, you know, Beats from his parents like 2-3 years ago. And he was trying to produce some tracks in his living room, like over Christmas. And he was making the music and he's like, man, it's like this track is bumping. And he was, because he's, you know, showing his mom, he's using his new gift and stuff. Yeah. And then he had a show he was playing a couple days later. And he went to play the tracks out without previously referencing them on another pair of headphones or another speaker. So just went to play the track out and the track goes on and there's no bass.
That's
because he had mixed it just so low because he thought it was high from that. So, you know, like there's a lot of different... variables in, and because most people do produce in headphones. That's me hitting myself in the head right now with my pen.
Your noggin.
Yeah. So most people do that because they live in urban environments with neighbors or roommates or girlfriends or parents or grandparents.
And if
so,
it's going to be finally listened to on another pair of headphones that are probably similar, then you can use iPhone headphones.
I would never suggest using little earbuds with that. But, you know, we take that guesswork out and we add in that low frequency bit. So, you know, your body attunes to what that should be. You can find phasing because the pack will be flopping around.
And it just feels
tight. So, you know, when we made this as a high fidelity monitoring system for music producers and sound engineers. So when they get to the club, they know by using the pack that they're ready to go on stage and it's good to go. It's like what they used to call the car test, where rappers would take their tracks
okay.
out to their friend's car and just bump it. And that's how you knew
is this working
the track
or not?
Was yeah. done. You're like, oh, okay, no, I need to go back and, you know, mix this down a bit again.
I love that.
So we've taken the car test and we've, you know, we've brought it into the home, which was our goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got some pretty crazy partners on the music side of things, Richie Houghton in the techno world.
So you got, I mean, obviously.
Timbaland. Yeah.
That's cool.
He's a partner in the company as well.
You guys obviously started as a music company. And at some point you're like, huh, this is going to be interesting for VR.
Well, when was that? You know, our product roadmap has always been a lot of different verticals.
Okay.
And a roadmap as a company. It was just, we wanted to get to the creators first. So mm-hmm. if you can speak to the creators, you can speak to everyone. We really nailed that. Music producers around the world use our product every day, tell us it's a game changer. And our plan all along has been to go from just strictly the music creators and consumers into the creators and consumers of all media. So we've got a movie theater that we opened in Korea last July, mm-hmm. 275 seat theaters with the packs are built into the seats. It's a CGV theater. So if you're ever in Seoul, go check that out.
What, CGV?
CGV.
That's the name.
Yeah, the name of the theater. In downtown Seoul.
That's really cool.
And then
how does that change a movie experience?
Well, in a movie theater experience, most of what you're getting is subs. Like I remember in like explosions and stuff, I remember I went to see Interstellar at Chinese theater in LA when I was living in Los Angeles. It was
that's a nice theater to be at.
It's very nice theater.
Lovely.
Pinkies up and glasses of wine only.
I thought when you said Chinese theater, I was like, oh, one of like the actual Chinese theaters.
No.
I bet they're dope though. Like they're spending a lot of money in China.
Well, I'm sure they are.
Right?
Oh yeah.
They're popping up with, I think 27 cinemas a day is like.
Yeah. Movies are booming there. Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I remember when I went to the Chinese theater in LA and the bass on Interstellar was so obscenely loud. And I was in the theater by myself. Like I went, like there was nobody else there. It was like 10 PM on a Tuesday.
Nice.
I just wanted to see this movie in theaters specifically there. Cause it was the IMAX audio and you know, the way that it was supposed to be shot by Nolan and the way he intended it to be listened to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so loud that multiple times during the movie, I reached in my pocket like I was at a concert to look for my earbuds.
Whoa.
Like it was painful. And that's not good, whether you're in a movie or a concert. It's like for those of you out there who don't know what tinnitus is,
mm-hmm.
Do you know what tinnitus is?
That's the ringing in your ears, right?
Yeah.
Like, for a long time.
Well, you know, you get most people associate it with like, oh, I went to a concert and my ears were ringing. Oh, cool. That means it was loud, man. Well, that can happen forever.
Yeah, it's all like
all the time you will hear that.
My dad, he's a music producer, like for a while.
You meet a lot of like older promoters and concert, you know, roadies and stuff who have got like a raging tinnitus because
it's not good.
No, it can actually drive people crazy.
Right.
And because there's no cure for it. I think the only cure they actually have ever found, there was a study in New Zealand a few years ago that said MDMA was the only cure for tinnitus. I'm not sure how accurate that study was coming out of New Zealand, but they found it relieved tinnitus. So if you're experiencing a ringing in your ears, according to New Zealand, you should take some ecstasy.
Take some ecstasy, dude.
But I'm not advocating drug use on this podcast, but do your own research.
I think it won't fix it, find
out for yourself.
It'll probably like just help you accept it and like instead of battling.
This ringing is so beautiful.
It's my inner soul's
sound. It's singing. It's my soul is singing. It makes you feel better about it. So there's so many things that like, you know, negative things that can come associated with blasting your ears with low frequencies. And then, you know, people go home and they put on their headphones after a concert and turn it up all the way because they want to replicate that bass sensation that they got at a live show or a festival. So this, what we've created, makes it so that you don't have to blast your ears, get a more accurate representation. And, you know, we knew that we wanted to bring this to the gaming and VR and theatrical and, you know, even the automotive world.
Sure.
You know, we're bringing it to as many places as possible.
Anywhere that you can sit or like be with sound.
Yeah, we will be. You will see the hand of bass.
So seats, I think the seated experience is really interesting. You have as far as I've seen, you have like two versions. There's a seated sub-hack and then there's a mobile one.
Right.
And the mobile one, was that created for VR specifically? Or
so it's created for a mixture of things. So active lifestyle use. So
got it.
You know, biking, if you want snowboarding, around, yeah, biking, DJing live.
Yeah, I've seen a few DJs at this point.
Yeah, it's great for monitoring because most club systems have terrible monitoring systems in the booth. So you have no idea what the crowd is hearing as opposed to what you're playing. You know, it's either off or too loud or not non-existent.
Can you put, it looks like a water, like a Camelback kind of, can you like add some water to it at the back?
Don't recommend adding water, but we do have a backpack attachment for the seated version.
Right.
So you can take it on the street and that does have a water bottle holder. And I use
that
all the time.
That'd be cool if you can accessorize on top of it.
But so other than active, so VR counts as active lifestyle, I would say, because everybody's moving around in Vive Room scale and the Rift now.
The sweat on the Vive that I'm looking at can definitely tell you.
It's glistening from here.
Do you see the VR covers underneath this table?
Oz has got a whole, like these are nice.
17 of them in like five different varieties.
This is nice. This one, I like this one's got, it's kind of foamy. I don't know, whoever this company is.
Shout out to VR Cover, dude. They make
VR Cover.
So many of them.
Oh yeah, look at this.
And so we give one to each player that's been in this studio. It's like disgusting
good
otherwise.
Good sponsorship move, VR Cover.
I know.
That's why I gave them subbacks. Yeah. You know, people use
it. they sent it to us for free, so.
Yeah, but so our you know, agenda in VR is not to tell anyone what to do, or you know, we want to make everybody's experiences better. We want to work with the creators, and we're working with a number of different people right now, and have, you know, I think the first major installation and activation we did in VR was for the Jurassic World Apatosaurus experience, which was just 2 years ago now. CinemaCon.
2014, yeah.
Yeah, at CinemaCon in Las Vegas. And they mixed the audio, you know, specifically designed to be felt. And there's a lot of experiences out there that are going back and remixing stuff. And, you know, you mentioned like different versions of where it can be. You know, we're coming up on South by Southwest here. And, you know, there's a really cool company that we're going to be. When is this airing? By the way,
We're probably in about 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. Okay, yeah. So that by then South by Southwest will be rolling. But there's a company called the Positron Voyager, and they make a chair called the Voyager, which is this really beautiful egg chair.
This was at CES or Sundance.
It was at Sundance, and it was at VR on the Lot. And Jeffrey Travis and Jennifer Rundell and their team are doing some really, really cool things with VR cinema chairs. So the chairs move around. Go up and down, and of course subpacks are, you know, built into it, so they're powered by subpack physical audio. Nice. And there's going to be a whole bunch of those down at South by Southwest, as opposed to where they only had a couple before. There's going to be a whole bunch of them now that we're working with them to build.
I have to say, the experience that like convinced me about the subpack the most was when I was playing Everest VR. I had the subpack on. It was like pretty late at night, pretty tired and happy, and put on the subpack, got in there, and the wind, there was this bustling wind that hits you. This was even an early demo before the game was out. It was like early last year's GDC demo that we had access to. And the end of that demo, you literally die. Like, basically kill you.
That's very true to life, Everest. That's a little too real, right?
I should keep that.
Is it like an avalanche? Do you fall off the mountain?
No, you freeze to death.
You freeze to death.
You freeze to death at the top of the mountain. And like, and the way they kill you is so much cold wind is, you know, flashing by your eyes, and your field of view gets constricted, and you also hear your heartbeat
slowing down
in your ears, which is such a true thing. You know, you're wearing headphones and you hear if you're running, you can hear your heartbeat in your ears.
Yeah.
And then with a sub pack, you could also feel it in your chest.
That's where my heartbeat is.
Incredibly emotional, like, experience that sold me. I don't think the full game itself was that amazing, but
yeah. Well, that just speaks to, you know, what we do. And I don't want to, you know, go on and on about, you know, what we do, but we work with anything that has low frequencies. So, you know, whether it was mixed with a pack, which it should be, you know, if you mix audio with a subpack, whether or not your end user is using it or not, your audio will just be better, period. That's just a fact.
Because you're just taking in the audio, the line
in. Right, right. We're quote unquote
You're middleware.
We are just a dumb peripheral right now. We plug it in and you turn it on. And I use that with the most affectionate terms. This is not to say we're not going in other directions.
Are you going to have an app? Am I going to control it from an app?
You're going to be able to do lots of different things in the future.
And I can control it with Alexa over there.
We're in a really cool place where we have a lot of really interesting engineering resources at our disposal down at Playground, which is our Andy Rubin's really cool venture fund.
And I didn't realize that was Andy Rubin's place.
Yeah.
Oh. You
know, him and all of his former Danger Inc. colleagues, the guys who did the Sidekick phones and Web TV. They're really, really cool guys.
And didn't he do Android?
Andrew Rubin? Well, Andy did Android.
Yeah.
It's named after him.
Is Paul? Okay. That's interesting. Now he's, I think, working on his entire own. He's not even at Google anymore, right?
No. He's just at Playground.
Right. Dude, that's a good, cool place. I gotta come visit.
You gotta come down and check it out. Yeah. It's really interesting down in Palo Alto. They just gotta make the trek.
That's right. They have one of the Boston Dynamics robots there too. The dog.
There are a couple of robots
there's
there.
A couple. Yeah,
there's a couple. There is, but Spot the Dog is definitely there. You know, that video where you see everybody kicking the dog. Because every time I ever show a video to a girl, I remember they'd be like, I feel so bad for it. I don't know. I'm like, well, how bad are you going to feel when it's chasing after you with lasers and chainsaws attached to it? You know,
and you kick it and it's still going
to
get up.
They're not making this for to be your pet. They're making this to kill people. But why? I don't understand why.
It will get up when you kick it.
Yeah, it's essentially the Terminator as a dog.
And also like morph into like other beings that it touches and gets its skin.
It's the T-1000 dog.
Oh my god, that combined with the drones that we're developing now with, honestly, I have a couple drones. I have two. I didn't know I would have two like 2 months ago, but
I've seen Oz has been, he's becoming a professional drone photographer and videographer now.
But I'm just preparing basically to battle. Just
preparing for the drone. The drone is going to be useless, man. The Skynet's going to control the drones. They're going to take control of everything. Haven't you seen Terminator?
I have.
I mean, I guess it depends on which one you've seen. There's some lesser Terminators than there are others.
Aren't they making a new one?
I think of course they're making another one. They're just going to keep rebooting it like every other movie franchise ever.
Hey, I feel like watching those movies with a sub pack in a theater would be awesome.
Usually when I fly, I always bring my S2, which is the seated one, with me, and I bring it in planes and I pick a cool movie and I'm just like rocking out on the plane.
Okay, doesn't that make your chair actually vibrate as well for the people around you?
The plane is already vibrating so much and it's so noisy up there that almost no one ever notices it.
Good point.
Occasionally someone will be like, what is it that you're doing? Like, because they'll see me putting this thing behind me. They're like, is that a back massager? I'm like, explain them what it is. Actually, one time...
just go with that, dude. Yeah, you should tell TSA that.
They don't ever stop us.
They would if
people
I went
travel
there.
With it all the time.
Not with this beard, buddy.
Excuse me, sir. Your base, please.
Sorry, I can't travel without my base.
Well, there was an elderly woman sitting next to me, probably 65, 70. And she was like, what is that? And I told her, and she had her iPad and she was going to watch the Avengers, like the first Avengers on it. And she's like, could I watch the Avengers with that?
No way.
And I gave it to her. And she was just so stoked. I looked over. She's like, I'm going to keep the rest of the flight. I had no problem with that. You know,
how old was she?
She's like 65, 70 years
old.
I just love the Avengers. She's like, yeah, my kids told me I need to watch this movie.
I can respect that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So basis for everyone, man.
Base is for everyone. I mean, I think that's actually an interesting question. Like, why is base so important and beyond the mids and the highs? And why do we have songs about it's all about that base? And like that, there's something intrinsic about it, right?
This is a question that comes up often. When I talk to people, whether it's an interview or anything, and it's, I think, and you know, I always credit Darren on our team with this, you know, more complete thought that base is something that excites the body,
right?
And things from our primal being, you know, when we were cavemen drawing on walls and hunting, what were the things that excited us, not in terms of like fun, happy excitement, but, no, but like terror,
right?
Like fright or flight.
And drums too, right? Like
a fight or flight, you know, experience. Yeah, the drums, it was a communication ritual method. So that's the
earliest instruments.
And heartbeat is the first bass and beat you ever hear. So on a like an intrinsically human level, the first thing that you hear is, yeah, is it feel is the sound of your mother's heartbeat. So going even beyond that, you know, thunder, stampedes, the roar of a fire, an earthquake, a tornado, those were things that,
right,
or a war drum, you know, like
that's why it gets us going. So
those
well.
Things where it's like, I either need to run or I need to fight for my life. Right. You know, that was what your lizard human early brain.
That's an
thought.
Excellent connection, I'd say.
And so carrying it on, we never lost that. Those things actually still excite us. If you hear a stampede of people or animals running, any stampedes of animals in San Francisco.
It's super primal. Like that's, you know, you get in this mentality of like, oh shit, we're about to go. You're either, you know, mobbing or you're running away.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. So that is, you know, why I think that bass is so important. And then it's also, you know, in relating to VR, we don't just hear sound. So when you're only just wearing headphones, that's not as real of an experience as, because if, you know, there, God forbid, you were near an explosion at some point in your life,
you feel that.
You would feel that, right. You know, it would move from one end of your body to the other. And if you're in a VR experience, like I think, what's the Oculus one, Showdown? Like when you're going in slowdown down the street with the robot.
Good times. DK2 days.
Yeah, right? They still have it on the store. Sometimes really? I go, just hop in there and just be like, it's cool looking still. But like there's all these explosions and stuff in it. And it's actually weird just hearing it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, God forbid you're ever involved in a real explosion. Mm-hmm. But it's in a virtual reality experience, you know, you want to feel that. And that's how you create that deeper level of I'm actually here.
This actually brings me to my next question, which is the directionality of sound and how important it is in VR, obviously. But with low end, I don't think, especially with the super low end, it doesn't really matter, right?
So low end, low end is mono, you know?
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's non-directional. So low end can be directional. It can come from any direction, but it's just always going to be a mono signal
to your ears.
To your ears.
Right. Can you still tell which direction it's coming from rather than?
So the brain actually, like right now, the subpac is on your back.
Mm-hmm.
We found that to be the best placement for a variety of reasons.
Right. And it's not going to feel like you're getting bass from the front, like it's distinctly from your back, but.
But your brain actually fills in those gaps.
Right.
Of directionality. So if you're using, you know, like Osix new X headphones, which are awesome, might I add.
So if it places the sound in front of you, like if you're the rest of the music is coming from in front.
Excuse me.
No worries. We'll commute that. The bass that you're feeling on your back is being filled into the circle that is the sound around you.
Exactly. And that's not to say we're not going to be able to do other things in the future where we will be able to control the directionality of sound. But for right now, your back and then your brain fills in the rest. And I think that, you know, one of the, you know, transitioning a bit into speaking about music in VR, because I was just, you know, talking about explosions and things of that nature, the vast majority of really accessible and even viral VR content has been audio and music based.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're excused.
Oh God, Jesus. you're completely right. I think those are the most fun things ever. Like, is either you're dancing and you're listening to music and you're doing things to it.
Well, I think there's a couple reasons for that. One is we are trying to cycle, you know, new viewers and experiencers through VR at conferences, demos, events, whatever, as quickly as possible, right?
Yeah.
games are great. Interactive experiences are great.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times we're just like, we need to show someone something for 3.5 minutes and put in the next person.
Right. And you don't have to explain buttons and controls.
It's like they're like, okay, I've seen a music video before, but I'm just going to watch it inside of my head, inside of this headset. And it's actually really like, you know, I'm sure you've noticed this before. Also, a lot of people, when you set them down in VR for the first time, you have to like turn them around and like let them, oh, I can look everywhere. But it's a nice, easy and intuitive way to bring people into the VR experience. And so, you know, what we do is we bring people that like, oh my God, I'm feeling a music video and I'm inside of it.
They can't help but dance, right?
People lose their minds.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people literally, you know, lose their minds. Oh my God. God, just dropping F-bombs.
Great.
I'll bring friends along to, you know, help me at events, and they're like, do people always react like this? I'm like, most of the time.
That's so cool to see, honestly. I don't think this is a very special time in
this is a small window, man. This is a small window for me and, you know, like my company and just for VR as a whole, because eventually there will be no more people to have their first VR experience or first subpack experience.
Yeah.
We are literally in a small period to, you know, capture all of this, you know, let people like give, how often is it you get to do someone with someone for their first time in their lives?
Yeah. I think consistently every week we give like, you know, 5 to 10 new VR demos to people. Right in this space, like either it's your friends or people
at least.
And it's all, and every person's different, I think, in terms of like how they react to things. Even if you put them in Tulprush and they're either,
you kind of got to be like, you know, coming from a musical background, being a DJ, you got to be a Selecta,
dude. Being a DJ for VR, that's actually completely true. Where you're like, okay, I'm feeling this person. They're trying to be a little bit more creative, or oh no, they don't want to be shooting things and they want to jump around, or they want to be just awed and not have to think about it.
I mean, yeah, like some people will get in Tiltbrush or Medium and are like, yes. And other people are like, this is boring. Yeah. Like, yeah. Can I see some shit blow up? Or like,
or I want to like, put me in a horror game.
Yeah, like I want to be scared. Yeah. And then there's you know, other people who just lose their minds in the blue, which actually has a ton of low end. That, you know, that's still a super effective demo.
Because underwater,
2 years later, well, the whale song.
Right.
That's my whale impression. That's exactly right. And so he goes by you, and you feel that low frequency. We had that Tech in Motion meetup here the other night, and I hooked the subpack up to the Oculus with Bluetooth, and I was using the Vmodas, and people were like, whoa, I've actually done this before, but I didn't know that there was this much low end in there.
Right.
But I think that those, you know, like, and also music videos and, you know, for all intents and purposes, I'm going to conflate 360 videos right now with VR music video, with VR experiences.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm doing that is because in the broader society who's coming into VR for the first time,
they are
synonymous.
Yeah,
they are synonymous. 360 video and a VR music video,
right.
Or there's nothing different to them. One is computer generated and one is
not. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
So I know a lot of people get like really like, oh, VR is not a 360 video, so like, how dare you? Glove slap.
It's like, oh, that's what you think VR is? No, I'm going to tell you what VR is.
But for the average consumer, there is no difference between, you know, Paul McCartney's 360 video and Kygo's music video.
Sure.
On PSVR.
And they see it on a Google Cardboard and that's VR. Like, for most people, they don't even call it headsets. They call it like goggles, right? Goggles.
A lot of people go, oh, you do VR, the thing on your face?
Yeah, I've just put things on my face, dude.
Hey, you know what? Thing on your face VR.
That's a domain right there.
Yeah, thingonyourface.com. You heard it here first. Austin and I are going to register it after the pod.
Damn it, people got it already.
But I was just saying, like Paul McCartney and Kygo, you know, those are accessible and recognizable names. So that also creates less of a barrier to entry if people are like, oh, what is that? Like, I don't know what that is. I've never put one of these things on my face before. But then they see, like, it's like an old friend. You see a familiar face, like, oh, I like the Beatles, or I like, you know, tropical house music. Mm-hmm. And I can get into the Kaigo. Yeah, that's fine. Let's do
I haven't
that.
Seen this Kaigo experience.
Oh, it's on the PSVR. It's pretty.
Just on the PSVR?
Just on the PSVR.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll show you after this. It's in the lobby somewhere.
Dope.
And then, I mean, looking at, like, I have a list of just, you know, artists that I love that have gotten involved with it.
All right. Tell us your favorite musical VR experiences. I think this is really important because nobody really has a curated list. And we should, honestly, I see you written in this.
I've got quite a list right here.
We should write this up in the show notes, put a list together. Let's write about it on Medium. Actually, we'll put it on Upload VR.
Yeah, of course.
Why not?
I mean, my favorite of all time is still Run the Jewels Crown.
Cool.
That was made by Spectacle VR, Ross, Peter, and...
where are they from?
They're from LA. Yeah. They're from LA, and it was on Weaver Transport.
Nice.
It's still on there. It's one of the only pieces of content on there. It's fucking awesome. Because it took a narrative approach to a rap music video, and it wasn't just like I was watching something. I had to engage with it by, you know, and not necessarily like interacting with it because it was a mobile experience, by looking and like kind of researching what was happening around me. It wasn't a passive viewing experience.
Right.
And it was just done so well. Like by the end of it, you were like at one point, like a dude points a gun like right in your face. Mm. And then like behind you, the same guy's there like in a suit. And then they're rapping at you like on like different sides. And you're seeing like, you know, remember when the war in Iraq started and you would see the news footage of like the tracer bullets and stuff in the sky at night? They show that like above you, and then there's like thunder and lightning. So that, you know, far and away was is my favorite piece of music VR content. But, you know, Samo VR, Boz and Adam made that Eden Drugs piece, which is great.
Dude, I love that song. I didn't know that has a VR piece to it.
Yeah.
Drugs? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you have never seen that?
No.
Dude, it's great.
You're blowing my mind right now.
One of the better pieces that's been out for about a year.
That's awesome.
Jazz Cartier, actually, who is a rapper from Toronto, has a really dope 360 music video that actually involves they fly some drones. They're, like, driving down the street in, like, rural Canada. They're, like, hanging out the window of their Tahoes, and then there's like this weird kind of like bondage sex party thing that they go to, and like thing. And then like the room is changing while he's like standing in the middle of it rapping. It's pretty tight.
So is that on YouTube?
That's on the Gear VR, just like the Samsung VR. There's a bunch of random stuff in the Samsung VR music section. Like I found one day that like before the Star Wars movie came out, they had Boba Fett in the belly of the Sarlacc with like this little R2-D2 style droid.
Okay.
Putting, it's just so ridiculous, putting a projection on the wall of the belly of the Sarlacc, and they're singing a variation of An American Tale Somewhere Out There.
Okay.
But it's like a Star Wars version karaoke of Somewhere Out There. It's just so random. But you know what?
Badass.
That qualifies as a piece of VR music content. I mean, like Tyler Hurd's obviously been doing some really cool stuff.
He did Old Friend. And
he did Old Friend.
Chocolate.
And Chocolate.
They're starting to get like recognition, which is awesome.
Yeah. Viacom Next has produced Chocolate with him. And they're also producing a thing called by a guy called Hot Sugar, like a more of an experimental bass artist in
I'm gonna turn a question around. I think this is a great list of like awesome content for people to watch and get inspired by.
Sure.
But like, how would you recommend artists, people that are really into music currently, what's their breakout into VR thing to do even to an experiment?
You know, that's actually a question I get a lot from the VR, from the music community. Like, I know all the stuff you guys are doing in VR. How do I get involved? You know, I was on a call with anecdotally an artist, a manager, and like a publicist about a partnership we were working on, and the artist was like, you know, I really want to do something in VR. And before I could say anything, you know, I think the publicist was like, Oh, it's super easy. Just go get like one of these like Ricoh Thetas.
Obviously.
I think it's called. You just put it like, and you just film.
Put it in the middle of your studio.
Right? And, yeah. And you just film.
Just film.
And that's how you do VR. And I was just like, No.
Yeah.
Not that that's not a cool product, like that product revolutionized the way that people could take 360 video everywhere cheaply.
Totally.
But if you, you know, I tell them to really do their research, you know, go find pieces of content out there, come to a place like the Upload Collective.
That's right.
Any artists I know are always have an open invitation in here. Check out some stuff, see what it's all about. Don't just jump in and say, I want to make a piece of VR content without, just right. because it's hot.
Right.
Because I'm of the opinion that no content is better than shitty content.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of shitty content.
Currently. There is a lot of shitty content currently. Most of it never gets released, although a lot of it does too.
A lot of it still comes
through. You know, that's one of the things I have such a huge bummer about in VR. I've seen so much cool stuff over the past 3 years that has never seen the light of day.
That just, they don't put it out.
They just never put it out. Like you go to all of these million VR conferences that happen throughout the world. And it's like Adam Arrigo in the wave, and I always joke.
Yeah.
And it's like the only people making money in VR are the VR conferences.
I mean, that's what people keep doing them. That's what there's one every week that you can go to.
Yeah, there literally are everywhere in the world.
It's the only like physical, I feel like, new medium that you need to actually do physically, right?
Yeah,
which is why conferences
can't just do
it well.
Like right at home. You can, it's just expensive. But you know, like do your research, watch like Bjork Stone Milker or like some of these 360 videos like by Foles has Mountain at My Gates. The Kills have a new one called Whirling Eye. Hot Sugar thing is going to be coming out soon.
So all of these things, how do people find them? Because it sounds like they're across multiple different distribution channels.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, you know, I would, start with just, you know, YouTube 360.
Right.
That's your simple starting point. And, you know, a lot of video distributors are like, we're going to be the new YouTube of 360. I'm like, no YouTube is going to be the YouTube of 360.
They already are.
There are some people out there who are doing some pretty cool stuff, like Vantage and Little Star have like really, and Next VR. They're, you know, doing something a little bit different, getting some cool licensing deals. But in terms of just, you know, like mass consumption, it's still going to be YouTube 360. Do your research, you know, reach out to someone who has experience making it, even if they're not the person you're going to be able to afford to make it.
Yeah.
Or speak to someone in the VR. Just don't go in blind and be like, I'm going to try to make this myself.
And be creative, because once you see what people have done,
well, the possibilities are literally limitless. Like, have you ever seen the video for Prodigy, Smack My Bitch Up?
No.
You've never seen that music video?
I've seen so little.
So
360 music.
No, this is just a music video.
Oh, okay.
This is like a music video from like 1994, 95.
I was born
maybe even
year.
so there's a music video by the Prodigy called Smack My Bitch Up.
Okay.
And it's a super famous Prodigy song.
I know a few songs and from Prodigy. I just haven't.
So I'll show this to you later.
See it.
And it's, in my opinion, the first 360 VR music video.
Interesting.
Even though it was 2D. So the whole thing is point of view. And it's basically this person going on this absolute bender through the London Underground at night, like, you know, going to a nightclub, like hooking up with somebody in a bathroom, like dancing, like doing a bunch of drugs.
Why do you call it a 360 or a VR?
Because it was, if you put that on a big screen and sat in front of it, it's all POV.
So POV, first person view, it looks like that, not even, this is way before GoPros. So it's actually, it's a shoulder mounted camera because it's slightly offset.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. It must have been super heavy.
And I'm not going to ruin the
ending. This is a great music video.
I'm not going to ruin the ending for you, but you know, like that was the first time I was like, whoa, what a cool way to create content. You know, like you don't have to have it be, you know, first person though. That's what the thing with VR is. You can do anything. You have an infinite world of possibilities.
And
you know,
you're like in someone else's shoes.
Like the Tyler Hurd's chocolate. It's like you're a cat god.
Can I try that? I still haven't tried it. I don't know if it's released or anything.
It is coming out. I know that they're premiering at South by through Viacom Next at the South by Southwest thing. I think it'll be out after that. I can't confirm that though.
We need to have more just like music and VR, because there's all these things, and I'm sure even people that have VR have,
you know what, them. You know what was a music VR piece, and most people don't think of it as a music VR piece? Pearl.
Oh, from Google?
Yeah. That was a music video.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was 100% a music video.
I'd say so.
You know, like, it was a real narrative story. It was beautiful. You know, yeah. I think a lot of those people worked on Pixar movies before that. You know, they think of the first 10 minutes of Up, where everybody was crying before the movie even began.
I feel them.
It was like they should have passed tissues around in this movie. But you know, that type of emotional resonance that you get, but that is a music video. That is 100% a music video. And you know, and then beyond, you know, once somebody's created just a straight up music video, you've got, you know, these interactive musical experiences like Soundstage and The Wave and Red Pill and Lyra and, you know, Groover and Audio Shield and
there's actually Harmonix quite a few.
And Rez. Like, am I missing any?
Those are it.
I mean, I think I'm probably missing a couple, but like Rock Band VR is about to come out.
Hell yeah.
You know, music VR it's the key, I think, you know.
It's the bridge.
The bridge. It gets people from, oh, I don't know what that is. I'm going to try it to, oh, okay, I can understand this.
Yeah.
And if we really want to, you know, like, those VR arcades are blowing up right now. It seems like all my conversations have gone from, you know, what's your home setup to, oh, I'm not even getting a home setup anymore. I'm just going to build a whole arcade for people to come in and charge them $70 an hour to come and try VR. Because, I mean,
works for the next couple of years, I'd say.
Whether or not I think that people want to admit it, and I think maybe they're admitting it quietly to people in backdoor conversations right now, is there's a ceiling to the level that VR is at right now. There's only a certain number of people who can afford to buy a $2,000 PC.
Yeah, it's a big ask.
Accessory, you know, before and once you get into content, you know, you could be up to like $3,000.
Absolutely.
And there isn't that much compelling. I mean, there's compelling stuff out there, but there's not stuff that's compelling enough for somebody to be like, oh my God, I have to go drop $3,000 on this and make a whole room in my house dedicated to it. So there's a ceiling to that. And I think we're hitting it.
I think that's where mobile really comes in, right?
And with mobile, there's going to be a lot of music video content.
And it's going to be, it is cheap to buy. I think we kind of misjudge VR as just being a, you know, Vive and Rift, but like over the whole winter, the Christmas break, dude, like I'd say millions of VR headsets were sold.
Yeah, they were giving them away with your Samsung Galaxies.
And I mean, even more simple than that, like sub $50, you know, cardboard essentially headsets, but they're, I mean, those are VR.
Have you been in a Fry's Electronics lately?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all over.
There's a whole aisle, like a whole aisle, like three sections deep with these VR headsets that I've never even heard of. Just like, you know, elaborate cardboards that have an app that you download on your iPhone.
They're
or
making
whatever.
Money, man.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, because so many little kids like, "I'm mommy, I want VR," and they're like, "Okay, Dino VR, okay, yeah. Grab that."
Maybe that's what Facebook is looking back at itself and saying, "Ooh, maybe we should have gone for the low end more."
Yeah, right.
I don't know, but there's going to be interesting plays that are going to be coming around, and I think just talking about the, just to wrap things up, the full spectrum of audio, of sound, and how I think
it's crucial,
really crucial, down to like the evolutionary reasons as to why it is. And Subpac seems to be like the first that's trying to push the physical sensations as well. Like it's basically a very primitive haptic kind of device that you can use.
Yep.
So if people want to try it out, like, is there places they can try
to see? Yeah, so coming up, if you're around, you know, there's a lot of VR arcades there. If you're in LA, you can go to the IMAX VR arcade.
Oh, nice. Opened up. Yeah.
They got 20 units in there. If you're ever at Upload VR in San Francisco, they got them here.
We do.
We are out in the world all over the place. We'll be at the Cross Festival in San Diego next weekend doing a music and technology area. We'll be at a bunch of different places at South by Southwest during the VR exhibition. We'll be with Fistful of Stars, which is Eliza McNitt's really beautiful piece from Hubble Images, both the Viacom Next pieces, so Hot Sugar, nice. Melody of Dust, and Tyler Hurd's Chocolate, and then Positron's Voyager Chairs, which is not a music-based experience, but it's something cool that I am not allowed to talk about yet.
I want to try it out. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
If you're Beta
has them in store, and we're in a lot of different stores around the country, like Music Instrument and then Winslow Porter from Giant VR has a new thing called Tree VR. And they are going to be out there in the world doing their demos. They started it at Sundance. And then I think the last thing that off the top of my head is another tree-related experience. Marshmallow Laser Feast out of the UK is doing a VR experience called Tree Hugger. So also using our technology. So a lot of stuff happening, and, you know, keep posted for what we have coming in the coming year, because
how can people reach you and find
you can reach me at Zach ZACH at subpack.com. That's SUBPAC.com.
Even out the email, that is a
risky fine. That's I like to keep myself accessible. No wall garden here. I'll throw you a rope. Come on over the wall. Join me in my crazy den.
What social media are you at?
And subpack.com. We're at Subpack on Twitter and on Instagram. Got some funny stuff up there and really cool consumer engagement all the time.
Of celebrities wearing Subpacks too.
Yeah. You want to see Justin Timberlake or Mary J. Blige freaking out. You know, the best is I've got some videos of people that we can't put out there just because of, you know, confidentiality and stuff, but I've got some,
and I'm sure the situation that they're in.
Yeah, exactly. I've got some really interesting famous individuals on video freaking the hell out their first time. That's in cool. VR, but
that's for the archives, guys.
Yeah, so, you know, VR is physical.
It is physical.
It is physical, and so let's keep it that way. And we're here to work with everybody to bring this whole medium into the future.
That's right. Thank you, Zach, for joining us and doing a fun Research VR podcast about audio.
No doubt, Oz. No doubt.
All righty, guys. Thank you all for listening.
Join the Upload Collective if you're not a member.
That's right. Oh, I guess if
OG you're OG member here. So.
That's right. Zach, you're like
one of the
top
first
five.
Yeah, top five for sure.
Early five. Come if you're in San Francisco, drop by Upload SF or Upload Collective. That's what it says in Google Maps for now. It's going to be changed soon. And yeah, come, you know, play VR with us. Come try the experiences that we have. Throw a shout out to everybody that has been liking us, rating us, and commenting on iTunes. That really helps us out when it comes to just SEO and like when you look up VR. Like, I want the science of virtual reality to be a thing that people want. And so I've been super happy with the numbers that we're getting. It's amazing seeing how many people are really into like the talking about how things work. You know, people are fascinated.
Share the pod. Grow if you share it.
tweet at us. We are at Research VR Cast. We're probably most active on Twitter. We have a Facebook page that we don't really take care of much, but you can find us there. Take a look out for that. And we'll pass off the mic back to Christoph and Peter over in Germany. See you guys next time.
Spread base.